Amen. Most people that came to Jesus were troubled in some way, but they came believing he could help, and they didn't leave disappointed. Just like you, if you came here with a trouble or a burden or an issue, if you can receive from him today, you'll leave here without this trouble, this burden, this issue, and you'll walk out of here well. You'll walk out of here free. All right, but he said again in verse 7, we're going to read this a couple of times, cast all your distractions upon me because I care for you. Let's pray. Let's pray again. Lord, again, thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that is the great teacher. Lord, help us to be more and more like Jesus every day. And Lord, help us to face our own life and see what the distractions are in our life, and help us to overcome these very things. Lord, move in our life in a real way, and Lord, help us all to be more and more like your son, to be more like Jesus in everything we say and everything we do. Lord, that is not an unreachable goal for us. That is a reachable goal, all because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Lord, bless us this Sunday morning. Continue to do great things. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Pastor, real quick, give me some idea of what do you mean by distractions. I'll give you a lot of words that describe distractions, like sin or pride or anger or lust or greed, jealousy, fear. These things are all distracting us from the true riches that we find in the Bible. Really, they are. They try to get in our way to disrupt our life and make us believe that God's never going to answer our prayers. That's exactly where the devil wants you to live, where you start believing that, see, nothing good is going to come in your life. Nothing good is going to come to pass in your life. You're always going to be unhappy, and that's just the way it is. Get used to it. The truth is, what? That's not true at all. The truth is, he fills you with joy. He gives you peace. And you know what? Before we read verse 7 again, look at verse 5. It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. Right? Why? Because God resists the proud, but he gives his grace to humble people. Stay humble. God could work in your life. Be humble. Be teachable. Be pliable. Verse 6, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he'll exalt you in due time. God's getting ready to exalt you, lift you up. Amen. Not knock you down, to lift you up. Why? Because that's what he does. And here again, verse 7, cast all your distractions, all your cares, all your worries upon him, for he cares for you. And verse 8 goes on to say, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Next verse says, but we are supposed to resist the devil. How? In faith. We're supposed to, verse 9, whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We all go through similar ups and downs, sad times, happy times. But the good news is what? He got me through it. He's going to get you through it too. Amen. He's on my side. He's on your side. We all know Jesus walked on the water showing everybody he's God. Okay? Don't ever forget that. Because people will say, well, you know, Jesus was just some good teacher, prophet. No, he walked on the water because he's God. God can walk on the water. Well, what about Peter? Yeah, Peter said, Lord, if that's you, let me come. Who was standing in front of Peter? It was Jesus. He said, it's me. It is me. Come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. We all know the story. I don't have to read it to you. You know it. But we also know what? When he took his eyes off of Jesus, he went right down, right? He was distracted by the wind and the waves. Not that you could walk on smooth water or rough water. It doesn't matter. You can't walk on water. I can't walk on water. But he did. Why? Because Jesus said, come to me. Yes, it's me. Come. And he walked until he got distracted. And then he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus grabbed him by the hand. They walked back together on the water. Come on, what's the point, Pastor? It's just simply this. We get distracted by things. We get busy in our life with some things that are good and important and some things that are not so good or important. And these distractions keep us weak and frail as Christian people. Instead of overcoming the devil, we stay weak and he just runs over us whenever he wants to. The truth is, when you start growing up in God, and we all should want to grow up in God, the devil comes around less frequently. Why? He knows you know how to use that sword. He don't want to get all chopped up. He doesn't want to get sliced up in little pieces. But when you know what the word says, that's exactly what you do. That's exactly what you do. You stand up and you say, wait, I told you to get out of my house in Jesus' name. And he picks up his stuff and he goes. When you don't know who you are in Christ and you don't know what the Bible says, what? He hangs around, he laughs at you. You start jumping around and saying things, and you know, and they start praying, oh God, I'm just a worm of the dust. The devil loves that. Why? Because you don't know who you are in Christ. You are not a worm of the dust. These chairs are for people. They're not for worms. There's no worms here. Amen. Oh, Pastor, I'm just the dirt of the world. No, you're not. Jesus washed you into his blood, and he made you righteous. Now you're a child of God. You and I, we can boldly come to the throne of grace. Why? Because we're his children, and we know what the word says. Amen. We know what the word says. We know what the word says. And if you know what the word says, when the evil one comes around, read verse 8 again. It says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walks around seeking whom he can devour. When you know what the word says, he can't devour you. You devour him in a real way. And that's why it says in verse 9, we resist them in faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in the world, or same things are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We all go through, again, adversity, tough times. It's nice to know you got the sword, you win. Amen. You wear the armor, you win. But see, again, if the devil can distract you with other things, you'll forget about the armor, you'll forget about the sword. And what? You'll cast away your confidence and miss out and lose out. He said, again, it's a key verse, cast all your distractions on me because I care for you. If you don't think God cares about you, when the devil comes rolling around, which he will, you'll just be devil food instead of being what? Overcoming the things that truly you need to overcome. All these distractions, whether they're good or bad, sometimes all these distractions have an effect on us and make us weak. Why? You're going to answer. I know you're going to know the answer to this question. Why are car manufacturers making cars that stop themselves, that automatically let you know if you're getting out of lane and what? And tell you that there's a baby in the back seat. Why? Because we're so distracted. We're texting. We're very important people. People call us up on the phone and we got to answer right away, even though we're driving, we shouldn't, right? Because we're important people. Are you mocking me? No, I'm not. But I'm saying, why are car manufacturers making cars that stop themselves? Because sometimes people are not paying attention, right? They're distracted. They're distracted by what? Things that they shouldn't even be holding in their hand or worried about. Well, if people text me, Pastor, I'm poor, and I got to text them right back. No, they can wait for your response. Amen. They can wait. But again, what happens in the world we live in today? People are distracted, and other times people are affected by it in a real bad way. Absolutely. And the same thing for us. Sometimes we're distracted from a real promise that God's given us, and we miss out on that very promise. But not anymore, bless God. Why? We're going to focus in on what's important to us and what's important for God that he wants to give us. Again, verse 8, we're still in 1 Peter 5. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. You have an adversary. Be sober, be vigilant. When you're distracted, a lot of times in a real way, you're not sober. When you're distracted in a real way, you're not vigilant. You're what? You're just distracted. You're doing other things. Amen. Pastor, I can multitask. Well, that's great, but a lot of people can't do that. A lot of people can't do three or four things at one time. And if they do, they're really not doing them all excellently. You know, maybe like, okay, I threw a load of laundry in. Well, doesn't take a lot of effort, right, to do that. You just throw it in, you walk away, right? You're not taking it down to the river and beating it on a rock, right? So you could wash clothes. And you could do three or four other things at the same time, but, and you know what? And you could do them well, but when it really comes to God's promises, you got to take the time and read it. I don't like reading the Bible. It's not exciting. Well, when you know what the word says, when trouble comes your way, you'll be happy you know what this says. Again, a lot of things distract us. Look at Mark chapter 4. I was studying for this today, and when I read this scripture in Mark chapter 4, I was telling my wife about it. She said, you know, I never saw the connection between these two words, care, before. And she knows the parable. She knows these scriptures. She knows the word just like you do. Mark chapter 4, the sower parable. Probably the most important of all the parables. Jesus said, if you don't understand, Mark chapter 4, if you don't understand the parable, how are you going to know all the parables? All the parables are stories. They're not lies. They're not talking about pink elephants and weird things. Jesus talked about real things, comparing these things, these truths, with a spiritual connection to it, or a spiritual answer, or a spiritual teaching that's going to make their life so much better. So we use the parable of the sower. The seed is the word of God. Everybody, the seed is the word of God. How come I'm not fruitful, Pastor? Because you're not studying the scriptures like you should. The ground that he talks about, the four kind of grounds, are really the four different kind of people that are in the world. You got the hard-headed people, and sometimes they're Christians, and they never grow up, and they don't want to change, and they don't want to read their Bible, and they don't care. They just stay big babies the rest of their life. That's sad, but some people are hard. Some people are hard. Some people are stony ground. They're shallow. Some people are weedy ground. Everything bothers them. And the fourth kind of person is good ground. They get the harvest. They get the fruitful. They get the fruit blossoming. They get the good things. You know what? Look at verse 12 with me. Let's look at verse 13. This is Mark chapter 4, verse 13. It's very important. Jesus said, because the disciples didn't get it. They said, Lord, explain it to us. We didn't get it. Nobody did. They didn't get it. Now, just in case you didn't get it, you'll get it now. You'll understand now. Verse 13, he said, know ye not this parable? How then shall you know all parables? Verse 14, the sower sows the word of God. So, Pastor, in a real way, you're like the sower giving us the word of God. Yeah, and I hope you're all good ground. I'm giving you the word every Sunday, Saturday night, Wednesday, whenever we have church, whenever you come. I'm giving you the word so that what? You become fruitful and have a harvest. Okay? All right. Don't forget that. That's what we're here for. Verse 15. These are they that are sown by the wayside. The wayside is that real hard, hard ground that nothing grows on. It's dirt, patted down, beaten down, hard. The seeds just bounce off. Verse 15. These are they by the wayside. They hear the word that is sown, but who comes immediately? The devil. Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. In their hearts, they're hard-hearted people. They don't get it. They miss out. They might even say, yes, Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior, and the next day forget all that took place that day. Hard ground, verse 16. Hard ground, they lose it right away. Verse 16. These are they likewise that are sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word of God, immediately receive it with gladness. Like, yeah, this is good. I'm going to receive Jesus into my life. But the next verse says, but they have no root in themselves. I would say it this way, make it understandable to everybody. These people are very shallow kind of people. They're shallow. There's no depth to them. There's what? There's rocks in their life. There's boulders in their life. Verse 17, they have no root in themselves, so they endure for a time. But when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. They get offended very easily, very immature, very foolish. See, that's what's nice about having your Bible, and if you don't mind writing notes next to your Bible, like verse 17, I wrote this way, shallow, weak, immature people. They're shallow and weak and immature. That's me, Pastor. I'm immature. Well, grow up. God wants you to grow up. Praise God. All right, don't get offended. Don't be upset. But again, if you get offended very easily, you got a lot of rocks in your garden, you can get those rocks out, ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and he'll take the rocks away, okay? But verse 18 is really the key point. I'm talking about distractions today. Mark chapter 4, verse 18. It says, and these are they that are sown among the thorns, the weeds, such as hear the word of God, but the cares of this world. Stop right there. The word cares in verse 19 is the same care that we read in 1 Peter chapter 5. That first scripture we said, cast all your care on me. I care for you. That word means distractions, right? This in verse 18 right there, I'm sorry, verse 19, that word care is the same word. So he's really saying in verse 19, cast all your distractions on me. Verse 19, the ones that are full of rocks are verse 17, verse 18, 19. The person that's full of thorns or weeds are people that are easily distracted. The cares of this world, all right, that's one thing. The deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful in their lives. If you can do this today, if you could cast all your cares on him, you can say it this way, if you can get rid of all your distractions today, you will be that fruitful ground, and you'll have verse 20, 30, 60, and 100-fold. If you never get rid of your things, the things in your life that distract you, you'll never be fruitful the way God wants you to be fruitful. But I can't do it. God made me hard, Pastor. God made me rocky. God made me full of weeds. No, he didn't. He didn't do any of those things. You know, any of these grounds, any of these types of people here, if they can get rid of rocks and the weeds and the hardness, they would be fruitful and they would have 30, 60, or 100 fold. Amen. You're talking a lot. Did you have coffee this morning? I had a cup of coffee. Yes, I had coffee this morning. But I'm telling you that a lot of people are distracted by things that are not worth being distracted by, and it makes their life unfruitful, and they never get the harvest that God wants them to be. Say your thing is fear or anger or worry or whatever. Say it's fear. If you allow that fear to remain in your life, it will choke the word of God. You'll see very few prayers answered, and you'll be a very unhappy person. But if you can give God that fear, he'll take it away, because God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Right? Say it's pride. Say it's pride. I don't care what you say, Pastor. I know more than you. I'm smarter than you. You're not. I know more than you do, Pastor. But say it is pride. Well, it'll keep choking the word where in other people the word's working. You know, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. So it's not that the Bible is weak. It's not that God stopped doing miracles. It's not that God's promises are you know, waste of time to even read and to know and understand. The truth is, it's people. They're hard. They're shallow. They're stubborn. They're full of distractions. They're full of worry. And what? And they become unfruitful. But me, I want you to be fruitful in all things. Whatever is distracting you. Work is distracting. Well, you know what? It's not. You need to go to work. Go to work every day, okay? That's not a distraction. But there's a lot of things in our life that are distractions. We need to get rid of these things and make more time to read the Bible. That's it? Yeah. To make more time to study the scriptures. Why? You need to know. Study the word of God like your life depends on it. Why? It does. Your life depends on what you know. I don't like to read. Well, get over it and start reading this. Amen. I don't like to do things that you know, if they're not fun for me. Well, knowing the word of God is going to produce a lot more joy in your life. So do what the word says. Again, verse 19, he said, the cares of the world. These are those thorny, weedy people. I'm not a gardener. I don't like to garden. I don't plant tomatoes. I appreciate when you give me a tomato. Praise God, I do. Why? Because I eat it. But I don't plant stuff. But if I'm walking past my house and I see a weed, I pull the weed out. Why? I don't like weeds. I just pull it out and throw it away. Amen. When I'm home, I do. I look at a weed. It bothers me. I got to pick it up and rip it out. Why? Well, it's just in the way of everything else, anything else that's growing. And the same thing is true for us. When you have that understanding, you look at your own life and say, you know what? There's some things I look at that are really weeds. I need to get rid of these weeds. There's some things that I do that are not healthy at all. I need to stop doing these things. Amen. There's some things in my life that I need to maybe cut out so I can make some more time for God, because that's what's important to me. New Jersey has a terrible, this is something I heard on the news the other day. New Jersey is number one in pedestrian deaths in the whole United States. What, Pastor, New Jersey drivers are bad. No, New Jersey drivers are distracted. And people are on their phones walking in the street, right? And they're distracted. And it's terrible. I mean, it's terrible. It's a terrible thing. But back to what I'm talking about today, distractions. You can think of better distraction. You can think of better examples that I'm giving you today of things that have distracted you in the past and made you miss out. Amen. But I'm telling you, for me personally, we need to stop letting things distract us, and we need to focus. I heard a message years ago, be where you are. That was the title of the message, be where you are, which means what? Be here. You're here, be here. Don't be thinking, I got to go to shop right after this, and I got to make sure my kids did their homework, and maybe get my car washed. I don't know. No, those are, wash your car, okay? But those are distracting you from right now, and this is what you need to hear right now, that these distractions in your life, if you're not careful, they're going to make you unfruitful, all right? Because the word of God is powerful. It says in Hebrews 4, the word of God's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God gave you promises. See, for me, I'm like, what does the Bible say? That's mine. Right there. That belongs to me. But not everybody's like that. If you are hard ground, you read the Bible like, If you're stony ground, you're like, man, I don't know, maybe miracles happen. Probably not for me. Or if you're weedy ground, what? You don't endure. Why? You're too distracted by things. You're too distracted from what's really important. In verse 20, these are they that are sown on good ground. Jesus said, if you get this parable, you're going to do well. These are they that are sown on good ground, which what? Hear the word of God and receive it and then bring forth 30, 60, or 100-fold. You got to hear the word. You got to receive the word. And some people hear the word and it goes in one ear, out the other, and there's no fruit, and it's sad. They want goosebumps. They want to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You'll see them in your life. You will see the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life. But you have to stop being so easily distracted. You do. Problem comes up. Oh, my God. You throw your Bible away. You run down the hall screaming. It just shows what? You show the devil you don't really believe what you say you believe. A lot of non-believers are distracted. They're easily distracted. We can't be distracted. We can't get off course. Amen. Distractions, I wrote it this way, distractions fill people with doubt and fear and unbelief. They do. You go down that road. Well, God said, yeah, but really, did God say, I don't know, you know, what about this person? They said they had faith. I don't know, but I do know this. When you read the word, it builds faith into you. When you hear the word, it builds faith into you. And studying the scriptures is not ever a waste of time. It transforms us. Amen. It transforms us. In 1 John, it talks about the four stages of development in a Christian. You start off as an infant. Some Christians never get out of that baby stage. They're adults, maturity-wise, they're adults. But spiritually speaking, they're very frail. They're very weak. But again, verse 20, if you hear the word and receive it, that's when you see the fruit. That's when you see the goodness of God. That's where you see good things taking place in your life. Go back to verse 19. I just skipped over this word, but I want to look at it real quick again. Verse 19, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things enter in. That last couple of words in verse 19, they choke the word of God and it becomes unfruitful. They choke the word. You ever see a big tree choked by an ivy plant, a little plant? Little plant wraps itself around the tree. And over years, what does it do? Its roots burrow into the tree. It kills the tree. So you got a tree that's 60 feet high, killed, that was healthy at one time, killed by an ivy plant that just circles around it and around it and around, just does it in. What's trying to choke you? It's something that, what? It doesn't have any place in your life. Parasites, you're not letting the parasites in. Amen. You're not letting. One of my neighbors has ivy all over his house, and a couple months ago, they ripped it all down. And all the wood that the ivy stuck to, it just disintegrated that wood. It just made it all gone. It chewed it all up. The same thing that's what happens with worry. That's what happens when you don't know the word. And that's what happens, like again, verse 17, 18, 19, when you're bad ground or stony ground, weedy ground, it chokes the word of God, verse 19 says, and there's no fruit. There's no fruit. Amen. I knew a guy who was in the Philippine Army, not a joke. Man was in the Philippine Army. He told me when they would do their maneuvers that these python snakes would fall out of the trees on them and choke them and kill them. And the thing you had to do right away is cut the head off real quick. Why? Because if somebody wasn't there to help you, that thing will wrap around you real fast, will kill you. Amen. Amen. Pastor, come on, man. Hey, the devil's out there trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Guess what? When you know the word, you chop his head off. Well, you know what the word says. You're not afraid. Amen. There's no fear. God didn't put fear inside of you. You stand up and you look at him right in the face and you say, you lying devil, I hear you. But you know what? My God is greater. My word, his word in me is real. I'm good ground. I'm going to step on your head right now and I'm going to see the exact opposite that you just whispered in my ear come to pass in my life because God is on my side. So you speak the word, what? What are you doing? You're using the sword. That scary thing, using the sword, amen, using the word of God, speaking the word of God. But again, the devil likes to distract us because he can't touch you unless you get out from under that secret place of the Most High God, under the shadow of the Almighty. Get out from under the shadow, get out in his terrain, in his world, in his sphere of influence. What happens? You could be terribly hurt by somebody out there. Why? Because where you are, you're at the wrong place at the wrong time. the Holy Spirit's leading you, guiding you. Like, you know, somebody said, you know, we're going to do, we're going to go and do this and that, you know, sort of illegal, but you know, it's okay. We won't get caught. And that temptation is there to trap us. And then what happened? A person goes for it, falls into the trap, and then all kinds of problems take place after that. When the whole time God was trying to keep you away from all of that, but the distractions just drew you in, pulled you in. Don't get pulled in. You know what? Look at Hebrews 4:12 with me. Look, just look at it. Just please go over chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4. My son Nick was speaking not long ago. He talked about Nehemiah rebuilding the walls and the gates around Jerusalem. And what? He had the workers. Nehemiah had the people guarding, standing on guard duty, and the other half working. But the ones who were working carried their sword. Why? Because if there was a problem, they were ready. Every day you carry the sword. Hebrews chapter 4. Every day you carry the sword with you. Amen. Pastor, I never read my Bible. We'll make time and start reading it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Make time. Too busy at work. All right, well, you're at work. Don't read your Bible at work unless you got no time that you could do that. But when you're home, read it. Hebrews chapter 4, make time. Verse 12, this I quoted it. I want to read it to you. For the word of God is quick, means alive. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. The word of God is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is the most powerful weapon. It's the sword. In that day, the most powerful weapon, the weapon people feared on the battlefield, was a two-edged sword. Why? It cut both ways. A lot of swords only cut like one motion. This one cut up and down. He gave you the word of God. That's powerful. Verse 15. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help. When? When there's a need. You know what this the Bible says? Put me in remembrance of my word. God doesn't mind you saying, Lord, you promised me, and I believe your promises. You promised me that I would prosper and be in health, Lord. I thank you that you make me prosper and you make me healthy. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, if this illness is trying to attack my body, I'm so thankful. The Holy Spirit's working in me, healing me. I'm grateful. We have a covenant together where all your promises are yes and amen. I am grateful, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your promises. What are you doing? You're just reminding yourself what God promised you. And with faith and patience, what do? You receive the promises. Distractions make people weak, mentally weak, spiritually weak. Distractions actually enslave people. They do. They make them slaves. And what happens? They're stuck. They're trapped by the distractions. They're trapped by these things that really have no place in their life at all. Amen. Do something good for yourself. Read your Bible. Look at Isaiah 26. Get back to your first love. Pastor, God had told me I don't have to bring my Bible to church. Well, I'm sure the Holy Spirit is talking to you, but I guarantee he didn't tell you that. Okay? Why? Because you need to have your Bible with you. You need to read it. I don't have a Bible. We'll give you one. Well, you know, we have New Testaments. We give them away. Absolutely. We'd be happy to give you one. But you know, do yourself a favor. Get yourself a nice Bible and get big print Bible. Why? Get big print Bible. It's easy to read. It's easy to read. I was going to say you might need glasses, but no, get a big print Bible because it's just so much easier to read. You got a little tiny print Bible. You start reading it 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night. You start reading your Bible by 7:10. You're sleeping. Why? Because it's not boring. It's just like the devil don't want you to read it. That's why. But read it and understand it. Isaiah 26, look at verse 2. Isaiah 26, open ye the gates. Open the gates. When you open the Bible and you find a promise from God, it's for you. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. We're the righteous nature. We're the righteous nation. We keep the truth. We walk into his promises. Verse 3, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You can say it this way. People that are not as distracted by things, they have perfect peace. That's just me. I just said that. But verse 3 says, but thou will keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. And verse 4 goes on to say, trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is our everlasting strength. He is your everlasting strength. God is your everlasting strength. And what's the devil say? Yeah, did God really say? Right? Well, that's what he did to Eve. What did he tell Eve? He said, Eve, yeah, did God really say? You know, God, yeah, God, you're not going to die. Don't worry about it. Eat from the fruit. Don't worry about it. Take the fruit. Eat it. That's all right. You'll be like God. You'll be good. You'll be God. You'll be like God. Eat it. And like I said, Wednesday night, Adam should have grabbed that snake by the tail and threw him out of the garden. Right? But he didn't. They both were listening. They both fell. It was both their mistakes. Their sin sold us all into slavery. But thank God Jesus came to buy us back. Amen. Perfect, verse 3. He'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on thee. See, the distractions come so that you don't have time to read your Bible, and so you can be easy prey when he comes around looking to devour somebody. He can devour you. But when you know the Word of God, he can't devour you. When you know the Word of God, he comes around less frequently. Why? He is afraid of you. You have to remember something. When you walk down the street, the devil can see you, and he sees the armor of God on you. He sees the big angel that follows you around. He sees your sword. He sees your shield, and he goes, you know what? I can just try to mess with this person, or I can just go around to somebody who's lost and just continue to torment them and make my job so much easier. So they'll skip over you and go mess with them. But when you don't know the Word, you walk around, I got my helmet on, I'm saved, that's all I know. He goes, I can get this one. I can destroy this person's life. And you see it all around us every day. You see. I see it. I'm sad. You know, my heart breaks for people. But it's their choices, their decisions, their lack of knowledge. Right? It says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Of what? Of what this says. It's not that they're not smart people. They're destroyed because they don't know what the Bible says. Serendipity, right? You know, got a little cold. You put your coat on this morning, put your hand in your pocket, you found that $20 bill. You're like, yeah! Then you realize it wasn't your coat, right? It was somebody else's jacket. No, but I'm just saying, it's nice. When you find a promise from God, it's for you. God's not afraid if you read it and says, with long life, he'll satisfy me and show me my salvation. God's not afraid that you found that verse. God, you said with long life, you're going to satisfy me. He will. He does. He does. Why? Because he keeps his promises. The disciples, Jesus never lied to them. The disciples, he never lied to them. They saw the power of God. They saw Jesus walk on water, saw him raise the dead, heal the sick, feed the multitudes. He said, the Last Supper, listen, guys, I'm going to be crucified. Evil men are going to try me. I'm going to be crucified. But on the third day, I'll be back. Did anybody believe that? No. Only Mary Magdalene, Pastor? No, she didn't believe it either. Why? Because they saw him die, and their reality was, their new reality was, he's dead, it's over. Nobody was waiting there. The 11 weren't holding big banners, welcome back, Jesus. They weren't looking for, they were not expecting to see him, even though he never lied to them, even though he showed them he was God, even though he told them exactly what was going to take place. The word had no effect in their life because they were thinking, Sunday morning, they're going to kill us. That's what they did. They hid away. They were afraid that the Jews were going to kill them next. They couldn't kill him on a Saturday because that's the Sabbath day, but they're thinking this week they're going to kill us too. We better just hide away. They weren't coming out. They weren't going to go to the garden tomb. They weren't going to be there. Amen. Well, Pastor, if I was one of the disciples, I would be in there. Welcome back, Jesus. I'd be holding this sign. And probably, I you know, it's nice you might think that, but too many times we are distracted by a lot of things, and it changes our reality. To start believing what? That even God can't help me now. And that's a bad place to be. Amen. That's a bad place to be. Pastor, man, you're like reading my mail today. No, I'm trying to help you. Get back into the Word. Come on, get your eyes on the promise of God. And what? Don't let distractions make you weak anymore. Believe what it says. Because this is true. This is the truth. Jesus said, you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. When you know the truth, it sets you free. When you know what the Word says, it sets you free. When you don't know what the Word says, it's sad. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4.